Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This week's gospel reading is Jesus arguing, right? What else can I say but arguing? How about if I say it this way? It's Jesus teaching. John 6, Jesus is teaching the people and they're not receiving it. And so he makes even more forceful statements. Remember that John 6 and Mark 6 are parallel texts, right? They both have the feeding of the 5,000. They both have Jesus walking on the water, so same events. Jesus performing the miraculous. Whenever Jesus does the miraculous, if he feeds people, when Jesus raises the dead, when he heals the sick, what do people do? They flock toward him, right? Jesus does the miraculous. People are like, we want to see that. Maybe we'll even get a little slice of that. So Jesus does the miraculous, people flock in. But in John chapter 6, having fed the people, having walked on the water, he then starts to tell them who he is. He's the bread of life. Not just that he gave them bread, he is the bread of life. Jesus gives himself. He comes down from heaven. He gives his life for the sake of the world. That's good news, isn't it? But when Jesus says that he's the bread of life that came down from heaven, what do people do? They start to flow away. They don't buy it. They argue with him. Isn't this Jesus who came from Nazareth? Isn't his dad Joe? Isn't his mom Mary? How did he say he came down from heaven? We didn't read these words yet, but later on in John chapter 6, the conversation continues. At the end of this chapter, verses 66 to 68, it says, many turned back. So many left Jesus and his teaching that Jesus turns to them and says, turns to the apostles and says, you don't want to leave too, do you? You know that passage? You know the response because you sing it in the liturgy. Because Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Miracles, people show up, teaching, they start to drift away. Now, I want us to look at that text, I'm the bread of life. And as we look at it, and not just that text, but the miracles and all that's been going on, I want us to remember three things. We've been looking at Mark 6 and John 6 for several weeks, and today I have just three things. They're all going to begin with the letter G, so it's actually simple to take notes if you do that. Three things to remember. First one, remember your God. Remember your God. See, Jesus, when he did the miracles, people thought, well, if I'm sick, maybe he'll heal me. If my kid is sick, maybe he'll heal them. I like that. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I came down from heaven. Salvation is in me and in nobody else. And what did the people do? I love it. It says it right in the text, verse 41. What did they do? At this, they began to grumble. That's a common word in the Bible. Did you know that? At this, the people began to grumble. And so Jesus ramps it up and he keeps going. No one can come to the Father. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. Anyone who comes to Jesus, he will raise them up at the last day. Once again, that's good news, isn't it? Eternal life. Jesus is God. He lays down his life for the life of and sake of the world. He gives us salvation. He gives us eternal life. He says over and over, I'll raise you up. Now, this is the question. When Jesus says those kind of things, have you ever wondered, why does he talk that way? It's really quite direct. What is it? Because it's true. If it weren't true, he would be a madman, right? Can you imagine if somebody did miracles, taught true things, and then said, I'm God in the flesh? What would you say about that? Most of the time you'd say that guy is a crackpot. Why does Jesus say it? In his case, it's true. It's true. I love it in C.S. Lewis. I'm not going to quote him exactly, but C.S. Lewis has this beautiful passage in his book, Mere Christianity, where he says that either Jesus is divine or he's a nut. And he says, let us do away with this patronizing nonsense of people who like to say, Jesus is a good teacher. Jesus is a good teacher. He teaches well and effectively. He teaches about moral truths. He teaches about the truth of God. You'd say, well, look at his teaching. But right in the middle of that teaching about morality and truth and decency and loving one another, he says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. In the midst of the moral teaching is those statements And when people say Jesus is just a good teacher, that's not one of the possibilities. He's either a good teacher who's also God in the flesh because he said so, or he's a nutcase. Because if somebody teaches well and then says, I'm the Lord God himself come down from heaven, if that's not true, wouldn't you reject the other part of their teaching too? Right? You see what they're saying? So Jesus did the miracles. That's great. Jesus is a great teacher. That's great. And then he says, I'm the bread of life. And that's true or not, right? It's true or not. If it's true, we worship him. If it's not true, we should ignore him, right? So what do? Some people like to take out their scissors, right? And they like to say, well, here's the thing we're gonna do. We're gonna cut out the verses we don't like. So I'll keep this verse, but not that one. And I'll keep the next two, but not the next one. People do that, right? Here's what we do. We just take all the verses. They are inextricably woven together. Jesus has woven together his miracles, his moral teachings, and his divinity claims, all wrapped together. John chapter 6, he feeds 5,000 people. He walks on the water. He says he's the bread of life. He says in him is eternal life. And John 6:26 calls it a sign. It's a sign to see who he is. Remember your God. Remember your God. How's your week this week going to be, right? The upcoming week? Is it going to be busy? Is it going to be stressful? Is it going to have a lot of stuff going on? This is the thing. Remember your God. Jesus is still God. He's still Lord. Whatever it is, Jesus is on his throne. He reigns and reigns for you. Second thing I want you to remember, first of all, remember your God. Second, remember your giftedness. Remember your giftedness. We have to go back a little bit earlier in John chapter 6 to pick this up. But I love it. Right before the feeding of the 5,000, right, there's a huge crowd. There's really 12,000, 15,000, something like that, right? 5,000 men plus the people with them. 12,000 people out in the desert. It's late in the day. They're getting hungry. There's no place to eat around. And Jesus says to his disciples, what? You feed them. You feed them. What do the disciples say? Jesus says to them, well, take an inventory of what you have on you. This is John 6, verse 9. They say, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. I want us to hear their words. The next words are important. But what is that among so many? What is that among so many? What are they saying? We're inadequate. They're saying we are inadequate. No. This week, I read something I never knew before. You guys know the actor James Earl Jones, one of my favorites, one of the all-time greatest actors ever, right? I read an interview of him, and the person was mentioning the accomplishments that he had had in his life, and he said that he hadn't done too badly for a stutterer from Mississippi. Did you guys know this? I hope I'm not new to the party. I had never heard this before. A stutterer from Mississippi. So I decided to read a little bit on his bio, and this is what I found out. James Earl Jones was, in fact, born in Mississippi. When he was a very young boy, his father left the family, and they were destitute. When he was 5 years old, his mother decided that she could not take care of him anymore, and she sent him to Jackson, Michigan, to be raised by his maternal grandparents, 5 years old. And the good news is he later reconciled with his father, but I want us to know this, that as a child, imagine this, James Earl Jones, as a child, was so traumatized that he picked up a stutter. And when he went to school, what did the other kids do? They make fun of him. And the other kids made fun of James Earl Jones so much that he said that he decided to literally stop speaking. He calls it his silent years. From first grade all the way into the middle of high school, James Earl Jones not talking. And thanks be to God, an insightful English teacher who was really on the ball noticed that little James liked to write poetry. And that teacher encouraged James Earl Jones to read that poetry to the class, and he regained his voice. Now, I love that story, because when I say James Earl Jones, what's the first thing you think? What a voice. Every pastor on earth would give his left arm for those pipes, right? Beautiful instrument that he has, the voice that he has. Can you imagine when he was a boy thinking, I'll never speak? And now he's the James Earl Jones that you know and love. He's Darth Vader, right? What a voice. I want you to think of your giftedness. Your giftedness. Like the younger James Earl Jones, we're tempted to look at our inadequacy and decide, I won't. I'm ashamed. And he needed somebody to notice the gift and stoke that flame a little, huh? Here are the disciples again. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that among so many? Does that sound like us? What is that among so many? By the way, every gift that you have came from where? From God. And then God has said to you, will you give me back that gift? It's a funny thing almost, right? Here's a gift. Will you give the gift back so that I can use it? 5 loaves, 2 fish. How much was it? 12,000 people. It was plenty with Jesus, right? It was plenty, more than enough. They gathered up leftovers. This is the thing. Remember your giftedness. Offer it to God and see. He will say, I'm going to make something out of that. I'm going to make something out of that. Remember your God. Remember your giftedness. Remember your goal. Your goal. When we say goals, sometimes I think we get a little fearful of this. We think, Pastor, that sounds corporate. No, wait a minute. Jesus is goal-oriented, isn't he? Isn't Jesus goal-oriented? Mark 1, verse 17, Jesus said, come, follow me, and what? And I will make you fishers of men. He's on target. Follow, who did he say that to? Fishermen. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Mark 1, 38, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. So that's a purpose clause, right? We're going to go somewhere else so that I can preach there. Jesus, goal-oriented. Mark 2:17. I love this one. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Why has Jesus come? To call sinners to faith and salvation. That's us, by the way. Luke 19:10. This is as good a purpose clause as anything. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Did Jesus know why he was here? To seek and to save what was lost. He knew the goal. He was headed to the goal. And in this beautiful verse, like Luke 9:51, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. The reason I love that text, Luke 9, Jesus is setting out to Jerusalem, but I love the word, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and that's with even the apostles around him opposing the trip. The apostle said, Jesus, if you go to Jerusalem, everybody up there hates you. They're going to kill you. He's thinking, guys, yes. What is that? That's the what? That's the goal. That's the goal. To know the goal. Years ago, a president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, Jerry Kieschnick, you guys remember, he used to always say, he said it over and over again so we'd learn it. He would say, vigorously to make known the love of Christ. That was the goal of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Do you remember that? And he would always emphasize the word vigorously. Ever hear him say it? Vigorously to make known the love of Christ. Does Mount Olive have a mission statement? I'm glad you asked. We do. Growing in faith and love by spreading the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just the grow in faith and love, that's wonderful. Grow in faith and love, spread the word. What are we supposed to be about? Grow, spread the word. Grow, spread the word. Keep growing, spread the word. To remember the goal, to have a purpose, to know where we're headed, to know what we're doing, to know why we're doing. Even in our text today, I don't know if you caught it when we read it. I want us to hear, there's 3 phrases that are very similar and they get repeated. And we read John 6, 35 to 51. Jesus says these words, to raise them up. Why did Jesus come? To raise them up. to give them eternal life. And then he also used the phrase, and they will not die. In those few verses, Jesus says that seven times. Seven times in those few verses. Why did Jesus come? To give you eternal life. To raise you up on the last day. That you would be with God forever in his glory. Praise him always. That was his goal. What's our goal? To bring more along, right? To bring more along. One more word that gets repeated. John chapter 6. Take the whole chapter. John chapter 6, the word bread, it said 21 times. 21 times. He gave them the bread. He fed them the bread. He is the bread. He's the bread that came down from heaven. Why did Jesus come? To feed us. Why does he feed us? To give us eternal life. That's the goal. That's not too much to remember, is it? Remember what? Remember your God. Remember your giftedness. Remember your goal. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.